Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner with you until 5:30. I mentioned going into the last break that watch list season has officially started. I just saw this as we were getting the show started here about 20 minutes ago. The Lott Impact Trophy is awarded to college football's defensive best in character and performance. That is according to their website. So the best defensive player and also apparently character is used as some qualification as well, although one of their former winners is Manti Te'o, so maybe not all that much. But anyway, they released their watch list today, 42 players on this list. We do have one K-State defensive player. Mitch, any ideas who would be on here from K-State?
Well, I've already seen it.
Oh.
So you can make the big announcement.
Okay. Well, that would be DJ Reed, cornerback for K-State, is on the watch list for the Lott Impact Trophy. There's going to be, about a dozen of these that come out over the next month or so. There's really just one week in which we see a lot of them, but this one a little bit ahead of the game with that. So DJ Reed is on the watch list for the Lott Impact Trophy, awarded to college football's defensive best in character and performance. If you were listening to yesterday's show, we had George Schroeder on. He is the lead football writer for USA Today, does a really great job, had a good article earlier this week about Bill Snyder, how he has overcome his throat cancer, started to designate more responsibilities throughout the program, and also the possibility that maybe Sean Snyder could be K-State's next head coach. Really enjoyed the interview with him yesterday. Both John and I did. We are hoping that we can have him on more often moving forward. But for those of you who missed it, I'm just going to play it back for you in full here. And it starts with us asking him more or less just what that conversation was like to actually get a chance to sit down with Bill Snyder and talk about things that were not totally football related. A lot of personal things along those lines as well. What was that all like?
Yeah, well, first of all, I haven't spent a lot of time with Bill Snyder. You know, he's not regular in terms of sitting down with the media, so I appreciated the fact that he did that. And then he was as gracious as I expected he would be. He handles himself like a gentleman in those fairly rare encounters with the media. So I enjoyed the conversation. Good conversation. You know, I asked some questions he probably didn't like. Asked some questions he probably did like, but he handled them all the same way. And I appreciate that as a journalist. You know, we've all seen guys react differently, and some of the questions are difficult. Like, you know, how much longer are you going to go? Some of them are difficult. Like, you know, do you in fact want Sean, your son, to succeed you? And I appreciated how he handled those. That would be the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is, I had not seen him in person in a couple of years. I'm trying to think. I was at the Baylor game a couple of years ago, Thursday night game. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
In Manhattan. And it struck me that it looked like that the radiation treatments or the cancer treatments had taken a toll on him this winter. And so, you know, he looked a little older and he looked tired. And he is, you know, admitted in the story. He is tired. That's an after effect of the treatment.
How tough was it to get him to talk about that? That is just from part of the media here that have tried to ask him questions about that. You mentioned in the spring game press conference saying, don't be curious. I mean, was it difficult to get him to expand upon how much it has fatigued him?
Yeah, it was. In fact, you know, early in our conversation, I asked him how he's doing, and he just sort of came up and said, I feel fine, which I think is pretty much what his standard line has been with any time he's met with the media, as I look back at different conversations as I was, you know, researching for the story. And, you know, it just took us talking a while before he kind of talked about how, yeah, it takes a lot out of you. And he said it was a fatigue unlike anything he'd ever known or even, you know, imagined that there could be, but that, you know, he is feeling better now. So, he also said it's going to linger for a while. I guess he's feeling better now, but it's still something that he's having to deal with. So he's hopeful that over the next few weeks and months, it gradually gets better.
George, in the last week or so, there's been a lot more conversation, especially here in Manhattan, about the possibility of of Coach Snyder's son Sean being the next head coach of the team, and It's something that he's getting asked about more. What could you tell from that conversation as far as what the degree is that Coach Snyder would like to see his son get a chance to be the next coach?
What the degree is? I think he absolutely wants Sean to be the next head coach. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And not just from my conversation, but just from other things he said over the years and other things in my reporting and other people's reporting over the years, over the last years and the last few months. I don't think there's any doubt that his desire is that Sean succeed him as head coach. I also don't think there's any doubt that that desire is not necessarily shared by all the movers and shakers at K-State. Certainly hasn't been, and we'll see what it's like with a new president and a new athletic director in place.
George Schroeder talking with us, USA Today, national college football writer. I guess just to ask your opinion on that, I mean, it's a tough situation here for K-State to evaluate. Do you hand the reins off to Sean, who handles so much of the day-to-day operations of the program right now, or try and go a different route? If you were evaluating this, how would you look at the situation that K-State is in?
Well, it is very tough for a lot of reasons. One, whoever you hire as the next head coach is probably not going to be as good as Phil Snyder. That's how this works. And by the way, I mean not as good as Phil Snyder, period, and not as good as Phil Snyder was for Kansas State in a specific fit. And obviously you guys know all the statistics and how he's the only guy who's given K-State success or taking K-State success, and he's taken them to tremendous success. And so it's going to be a tough job for whoever follows Phil. In my own estimation, and I don't pretend to have any specific insight, but I think, you know, it's hard to see giving it to Sean. I don't know Sean well. I like Sean. I respect Sean. But he's never called plays offensive or defensive. Doesn't have the resume that some of the other guys who would be very interested in what is a good job because of Bill Snyder. What is a good job, you know, that's going to be open? It's still hard, though. How do you tell a guy who built the program and essentially is Kansas State, and I don't really mean just football, how do you tell him no? How do you tell him no, we disagree with your perspective here? So I don't know where they'll go with it. I think probably someone like a Jim Leavitt. You always hear Brent Venables. I think somebody like that is probably going to be the right pick. And there will be a lot of people interested, despite the fact that they'll be following, you know, to say a legend is trite, but I mean it that way. But, you know, it really doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks at this point. There's two or three people that are going to make that call if and when it happens.
Well, it's interesting to me that you say that about the job. How do you view, or how do you think coaches would view how good of a job this is?
Oh, I think it's a top – I hadn't really thought of it in that regard. I think it's a top 30-ish job, and I know that doesn't sound great, but let's consider what Kansas State would have been in 1988. You know, it wouldn't have been a top 100 job. It might have been a – you know, if it was a top 100 job, it's because there were 100 FCS schools at that point. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a job where it's hard for anybody to win. But the foundation has been laid, and the facilities have been built now thanks to what – Coach Snyder's teams have done, and thanks to, frankly, to the fundraising abilities of John Curry, too, the former athletic director, to where it's a job where you feel like you can compete now. I don't know if that would have been the case before. And so I think it's a decent job. It's not a great job, but it's a decent job. I still think it's a hard job. It's just not nearly as hard as it was before Bill Snyder got there. But if you make the wrong choice, whether that wrong choice is from inside the family, so to speak, or outside the family, we've seen what can happen if you make the wrong choice. It's a pretty fragile, I think, football program, despite all the winning and all the foundation laying. We saw what happened when they made a bad hire in 2005.
George, K-State expects to have a pretty quality team this year, one that potentially could compete for a Big 12 championship, but I'm curious what your perspective is as far as how much of a distraction all of this could play this fall between the talk about Sean Snyder and Coach Snyder's health in general. I mean, do you think that it's actually going to take an on-field toll on this team just because of all that chatter?
I don't know if it takes an on-field toll on the team, on the current players. I do know this. I think the ongoing chatter, and I don't know if it's unique to the last few weeks or the next few weeks, or even the last few months with the cancer treatments and maybe a little heightened uncertainty about what Coach Snyder was going to do. But I think over the last few years, and for however long Coach Snyder goes, you know, 77 to 178 in October, I think the uncertainty about the future of the program, and I don't know if there's any way to help this, is a problem for Kansas State as it attempts to recruit. And so I do think they've got a chance to be really good in 2017, excuse me, I've got my years mixed up. But I do think they have a chance to be really good next fall. And I think, you know, who knows what happens. People are talking about Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the league, but I wouldn't count Kansas State out at all. And I don't think there's a gap after that. But what happens in 2018? What happens in 2019? What happens with the guys they need to be recruiting right now? What are they thinking? And so what does it mean, what does all this mean for the sort of the sustainability and longevity of the program at a high level? And I think that's where the uncertainty really kicks in and is a problem.
George Schroeder talking with us from USA Today, national college football writer. Just a couple quick ones here. I guess you answer this in part, but you do consider K-State a legitimate Big 12 title contender this year?
I do, absolutely. I think Oklahoma, like, they've got to replace skilled players, but they've got a big-time offensive line, and we all know about their quarterback, Baker Mayfield. I think they have to be the favorite. Oklahoma State's getting a little bit of love right now because it's that time of year when we're looking for different people to move around in our way through early top 25s and things like that around college football. You know, it's just, you know, we've got way too much time on our hands, frankly. And I do think they've got a chance to be pretty good. But K-State always plays, it seems like, over its capability because of how well-drilled they are. That's probably not the best way to put it. They're better than some of their parts, is a better way to put it. And this team looks like it's got a bunch of good parts. So I'm not slighting the talent at all. I'm saying regardless of what kind of talent he has on hand, they play better than just what the talent is. And this is a pretty good collection of talent. So I do think they've got a nice shot. They're certainly going to contend. They could win it. You know, you got to get past Oklahoma. You got to get past Oklahoma State. And I think Texas is going to be better. But I think there's a pretty clear gap between the top, upper tier of the league and lower tier of the league right now. And I think K-State is clearly in the upper tier.
Well, I may have saved the most difficult question to answer for last here. It's always tough for us to struggle with this one. You know, where do you put Bill Snyder if you're talking all-time college football coaches? It's hard to evaluate him against like a Nick Saban with the resources there at Alabama, for example. Where do you put him on the list of all-time greats?
Right, and that's the hard thing is there are no titles. There are two Big 12 titles. You know, they were very close in 99. Didn't win the Big 12 title, but were close to playing for a BCS championship, obviously. And so when you start talking about, like, the Mount Rushmore of college coaches, his face doesn't immediately pop up on people's lists. I think it probably should. Now, if your criteria is championship, it's not going to happen. But if your criteria is the best coaching job in the history of college football, did the best coaching job, in other words, then I think he's right there. I don't know that he's the best college football coach in history. I mean, you know, there's probably four or five other guys that you would put right there. Nick Saban clearly would be one of those. But he's in that, he's definitely in that mix. And I think he may well have done the best job of coaching and building the program in the history of college football. Barry Switzer has said things like that over the years. And Barry Switzer, for all his bombast, is incredibly complimentary and respectful of other coaches. And he saw the program, obviously, he had Oklahoma rolling when K-State was, you know, the kind of place where Oklahoma starters would have their pads off in the second half. I mean, they'd be out there with their jerseys on and no pads, and I mean that literally. Well, obviously, some of your listeners remember that. And so he's seen where K-State was and has seen what Bill Snyder has built there. I don't know how you – it kind of depends on what your criteria is, but I think if you sort of jumbled everything together, he's got to be a top five coach of all time.
Yeah, I think that evaluation's pretty spot on. George, appreciate the time and joining us here. Really enjoyed the piece on Bill Snyder. We'll continue to read your work. Hopefully we'll talk to you on down the line.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Enjoyed it.
All right, that is our conversation from yesterday with George Schroeder of USA Today. Again, really appreciated his time. Thought he had some really good insight for a lot of the things that we asked him. Heading to our next break of this first hour, when we come back, Frank Mason could never have been prepared for one of the questions asked of him at the NBA Draft Combine yesterday. Hear the incredible audio coming up next on The Game.